Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we take you from the skies of Vietnam to the War on Terror with retired Major General Rick Erlandson. And we get an update from the commander of Minnesota's 2400 Red Bulls as they depart for the Middle East. But first, let's take a moment to remember a Minnesota Marine who has died in Afghanistan. The Defense Department tells us 21-year-old Lance Corporal Robert Greniger of Greenfield died Tuesday while conducting combat operations in Helmand Province. He is the second Minnesota Marine killed in Afghanistan in the last 2 weeks. He will be missed and remembered. And now it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard has many missions, but one that we are most proud of is our 15-year state partnership program with Croatia. As a matter of record, Croatian military leaders credit the National Guard's state partnership program with helping their country gain full acceptance into NATO membership. Our Croatian state partnership program activities include exchanges by high-level military and civilian leaders, military-to-military contacts, which bring Minnesota National Guard members together with Croatian troops for training, and military-to-civilian activities, which focus on homeland defense, homeland security, and military support to civilian authorities. The state partnership program started in the Balkan region in 1993 after the collapse of the former Soviet Union. It's focused on matching U.S. states with former Soviet satellite nations. No program has ended or failed since its inception 15 years ago. Recently, the 2nd Battalion, 136th Infantry Battalion, sent a group of soldiers to Croatia to train with Croatian soldiers on infantry tactics. Additionally, for the past several years, the Minnesota National Guard has provided military advisors and trainers to deploy with Croatian soldiers on tours to Afghanistan to assist the Afghan military and their police. The Minnesota National Guard is extremely proud of our 15-year relationship with our Croatian state partner. We commend them on their acceptance into NATO and look forward to many more years of collaboration, training, and prosperity.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, retired Major General Rick Erlandson joins us. He is the former commanding general of Minnesota's 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, as well as a Vietnam veteran. General Erlandson, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
General, I understand you had a long career in the Minnesota National Guard, but you actually started out in the United States Marine Corps.
Well, I've truly been blessed by the opportunity to serve this great nation over the past four decades. My service, as you stated, started in the United States Marine Corps in 1970 and culminated with retirement from the U.S. Army in October of 2007. I believe the one common thread that there is through that four decades, or nearly four decades, has been the great men and women that I've had an opportunity to serve with throughout my career. The forces that we have on the ground today are phenomenal, and the forces that I've served with throughout my career have been the same.
Sir, I understand you were deployed to Vietnam, and you've also been deployed to Cambodia, Philippines, and Kosovo in the Guard. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
And over the years, those deployments had to look a bit different when you were a young soldier, a young officer in Vietnam, and then as a commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry in Kosovo. Quite a few years passed, and how was it? How did the troops do? How did they compare? How's your evaluation of them?
Well, you know, when I look back and try and reflect on 38 years of service and all of the great men and women I had an opportunity to serve with, I often talk about country and patriotism, and this country has truly been blessed throughout history in many, many ways. But one of the ways that I believe we've been blessed is we've always had great young men and women who have always stood up and answered the call whenever our country was in crisis or conflict or any type of challenge. And when you look back at history, although the time may have been different, there always was a willingness to serve that has been consistent throughout the force. Now, the methodology in the Vietnam time was the draft as well as recruiting. And in 1973, we have switched over to an all-volunteer force. But I go back to what I said originally, and that America has always had its sons and daughters stand up in times of crisis, and they've truly paid the price for the freedoms that we enjoy today. And I would tell you that soldiers and Marine and airmen and seamen and Coast Guardsmen serving in the 1970s, late 1960s during the Vietnam era, and those serving today, soldiers are soldiers and Marines are Marines.
We're speaking with retired Major General Rick Erlandson, Vietnam veteran and former commanding general of the Minnesota's 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, here on Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. General, we get cards and letters from our listeners, and a lot of them come to me and they say, Minnesota National Guard is supposed to be 2 weeks in the summer and weekends, and things have changed since 2001, but the troops are well aware of it, aren't they?
Well, first of all, their comment is right. Things have changed. Our force has changed from what used to be a strategic reserve force to what now is an operational force working right alongside of our active duty counterpart. And the soldiers in our force are doing a great, great job of that. Soldiers today know when they sign up in the Minnesota National Guard that there's a strong possibility that they may have to deploy in defense of this country. They accept that, and their willingness to serve is simply outstanding.
And General, we've had a number of other guests on, and as I understand it, we've got one of the best training facilities in the United States up at Camp Ripley.
I had the opportunity to command Camp Ripley a number of years back, and it truly is a jewel of Minnesota as far as the training facility. And really, throughout our Army, it has received accolades for the facilities that we have to train our soldiers to get ready for combat. And we couldn't be prouder in Minnesota of that facility.
In general, one of the points that that has been made to me often is because of that facility, our National Guard troops get to train closer to home. And when they do deploy, the deployments are a bit shorter because they're able to get so much done up at Camp Ripley.
That's certainly true. You know, one of the things that we experienced early on in right after 9/11 was we felt that we had to get as far away as we could to train to adequate training facilities such as Fort Stewart and facilities that the active Army maintains and sustains. But what that ends up doing is it separates us from our families for several months, getting ready to go, and then we go for several months. So it just adds on to that time. And over time, we've learned that training closer to home is more productive. It keeps us closer to our families, and it shortens our deployment time. And, of course, any time you can do that, that increases morale.
General, when we come back, we'll talk about a number of items, but one of them is the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. But we have to take a short break, so we'll continue our conversation with General Erlandson after this short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking with retired Major General Rick Erlandson, Vietnam veteran and a former commanding general of the Minnesota 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. General, can you tell me, how would you assess the state of our military and their performance during this long period of continued conflict Afghanistan and Iraq?
Well, our military forces, soldiers, Marines, airmen, seamen, their performance over the past 10 years has simply been phenomenal. They're committed, they're a dedicated force, and they're very, very professional. I believe the strength lies within our force, in our junior leadership, at both the officer and NCO rank, and that includes the great young men and women that they've been charged to lead. Their mission performance since 9/11 has been and continues to be simply outstanding. Something I share with the soldiers when they return from deployment, the many soldiers that I've had an opportunity to meet and greet as they come off the airplane and return from theater, is I always tell them that history is going to define the conflict that we're presently in. The media and pundits are going to write about it and argue about it and decide what was right and what was wrong with this particular conflict. But I always tell our soldiers and their families, truly, that to never forget that they truly have made a difference in the time that they've spent, in the lives of those people that they've touched in the countries that they've deployed, whether it be the Balkans, Iraq, Afghanistan, or other places globally. Our soldiers have given them an opportunity to determine their own destiny. And ultimately, we all know, as soldiers, we are only there for a short time. I know it seems long to families who are waiting on their soldiers to return, but what our great soldiers are doing over there is giving these people an opportunity to determine their own future. And in my view, they've done an excellent job of that. You know, Tom, as I reflect on some of the deployments that I've been on and the people that I have come in contact with globally, people throughout our world really only want two things. They want to be able to live in a safe and secure environment, and they want to be able to provide a decent living for their family. And really, it boils down to those two things. And in most cases, they are very, very receptive of what our soldiers do. And I think our soldiers should be proud of that service.
General, it's been a long period of deployment. It's almost 10 years. And I would guess that the Minnesota National Guard is maintaining a much higher level of readiness for these deployments than they did for many years before that. How are the troops performing? Are they holding up well? Are they happy? Are they performing well, sir?
Well, my view is that their performance has been outstanding. Certainly, I've been retired for just about 3.5 years, but I stay in close contact to those great soldiers and their leadership. And the readiness levels within the National Guard, particularly in the state of Minnesota, have never been higher. They have met every challenge that we've thrown at them, and they have done our nation's business with pride, and we should be proud of all of them.
We're speaking with retired Major General Rick Erlinson, a Vietnam veteran and former commanding general of Minnesota's 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, here on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Sir, when you were the commanding general of the 34th Division, at the time that the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program was implemented here in the state of Minnesota, can you tell us what was the genesis of that program, and in your view, is it making a difference?
Well, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program was really the vision of our previous Adjutant General, General Larry Shelato. And I credit him for really promoting the idea, and collectively as an organization at the division, we took the ball and ran with it and worked very, very closely with his headquarters, Joint Forces headquarters, to develop a program that would reintegrate our great soldiers returning from deployment. But really, General Shelato wanted more than that, and that became a 90-day program. But he was really talking about beyond the yellow ribbon and what is it that we can do for our soldiers and their families after the 3 months or the 90 days that we talk about reintegration is up. And it really is important when you talk about a National Guardsman who returns to their community and really doesn't have any infrastructure or support like an Army base close by. So we had to lean on local communities, local veterans organizations, community leaders, state leaders, and federal leaders to establish a program which really turned into being a national leader. The state of Minnesota should be awfully proud of taking this initiative to the level it's taken it, and it has now become a national program in support of all of our soldiers. I really like to credit our Vietnam veterans regarding this. Certainly, many of our Vietnam veterans did not receive any type of a welcome home at all. They took this program to be their opportunity to make sure it never happened again. And I think organizations like the Patriot Guard, the contributions that our Vietnam veterans make at reintegration programs are nothing short of amazing. Our soldiers and families need their support, need our support as community and state and nation. And I see this program improving each and every day. And it's only going to get better, but it's going to be critical to our success in the future, particularly our military and our country.
General, we've just got a few seconds left, but as a soldier who's been deployed many times and led troops many times, it has to make a big difference to the troops that are deployed, knowing that the Yellow Ribbon Program is here and there are cities and communities and counties helping to shovel snow and mow lawns and help your families. It's got to eliminate some distractions for your soldiers and your troops and allow them to focus on the mission at hand.
Absolutely. A soldier that knows that things are being taken care of at home while they're gone and knows that there'll be someone there to help them when they return can focus on the mission at hand when they're deployed, and that's critical to their success.
General, I was happy to meet you today, and I'm happy to know that when you were leading the 34th Infantry and you and General Shalado put that program in place, because we're talking about people doing great things for families every week on this show.
Well, thank you for having me, Tom.
General,
I genuinely enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining us, General. That was retired Major General Rick Erlinson, a Vietnam veteran and former commanding general of Minnesota's 34th Infantry Red Bull Division. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. Before being killed in action, Private First Class Sylvester Schaefer received 2 Purple Hearts and the Military Merit Medal, the highest decoration the South Vietnamese could give to a foreign service member. On Memorial Day, 40 years after his death, Sylvester was honored at a special service in Richmond, Minnesota. This young man's sacrifice was remembered because of another man's perseverance. For 3 years, Alvin Gertkin, post commander of the Richmond American Legion, has coordinated events for service members like Sylvester. The veterans Alvin selects are no longer living, but he takes the time to honor their service and give back to the family who had to survive a loss. The annual service is just one of many ways Alvin is volunteering in his community. When he's not recruiting new members to join the American Legion, Alvin is taking calls from the St. Cloud Family Assistance Center to help out military families whenever he can. Alvin also coordinates military funerals in the Richmond area and sometimes travels hours away to volunteer his services. Within his own family, Alvin has a proud daughter who can't thank him enough for helping out while her husband is deployed. Thank you to Alvin Gertkin for showcasing how Minnesotans strive to go beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring our service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like Mr. Gertkin, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll get an update on Minnesota's 2,400 Red Bulls as they depart for the Middle East. That's right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalado.
In June, I had the honor of participating in the rededication of Victory Memorial Drive in North Minneapolis. This historic landscape boulevard commemorates the 568 men and women of Hennepin County who died in World War I. Victory Memorial Drive recently underwent a restoration and renovation in celebration of its 90th anniversary. I was proud to attend and represent the veterans of Minnesota at the ceremony. My appreciation for this project goes beyond the beautiful landscaping and striking monuments. This event was symbolic because it represents the community's pledge to never forget. Community leaders, volunteers, and citizens of all ages came together to make this vision a reality. If you haven't had the chance to visit Victory Memorial Drive, I encourage you to do so. For more information, visit victorymemorialdrive.com.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. You can find out more about Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, Colonel Eric Kerska joins us. He is the commander of Minnesota's 1st Brigade, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. Colonel Kerska, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Colonel, the last time we talked was up at the firing range at Camp Ripley. You've covered a lot of miles since then.
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago the last time I saw you. But in reality, it's only been a couple months. But we've been busy, so time has flown by, and a lot of things have happened since then.
Well, I believe shortly after we talked, you went over to Fort McCoy and you pulled your 2,400 troops together over there and began your training for the upcoming deployment.
Yep, that's true. We all made it over here by around the 2nd of June, and everybody's been training hard and building teams ever since.
Now, as I recall, Colonel, you told me that when you went over to Fort McCoy, then some other members of the United States Army would be joining you and helping with the training. How's that been going?
Well, the training's been going great. I mean that sincerely. It's the support we've got from the installation at Fort McCoy, whether from the active regular Army or from the civilian staff here at Fort McCoy. The support's been wonderful. They've been bending over backwards to make it a good experience, and the training has been top-notch.
And how have your soldiers been doing, sir?
They've been doing excellent. I like to think we're breaking all the records, and in some cases we have. We were received very well. We showed up at a higher than normal readiness rate, maybe because we had a little bit extra notice, and we worked hard the previous winter as well as Camp Ripley when I saw you last. So we had 98% of our pre-mobilization tasks complete when we showed up here. So we didn't have to worry about very much makeup and other distractors, so we could get right into the post-mob training plan. So we were well set up for success.
Sir, can you give us an example of some of the type of training that you've gone through in the last month?
Well, we've gone through many different events. I mean, hundreds of different events. My focus was on MRAP driver's training. MRAP is a vehicle that the listeners may or not be familiar with. It's replacing the Humvee, and it's a bigger vehicle. It's a safer vehicle. It's a great vehicle. But it's large, and we've got young men and women driving these things. So it can be dangerous with a heavy piece of equipment. It's very big and very heavy, and so we wanted to concentrate on the driver's training portion of it. So these young soldiers were completely prepared for it once they got over there and had to start using them. So we put a lot of miles. We initially set our goal for the number of drivers. We had our minimum standard we had to get done here. And we ended up completing three times as many. So we've been putting a lot of miles on the MRAPs. Staff exercises, the First Army, or the trainers, they call them, from First U.S. Army, they set up some phenomenal staff exercises. They were very realistic. They were relevant. And what it allowed us to do is to practice exactly what we're going to be doing when we get over there. They sent people overseas to figure out what was really going on and brought that information back so that they could exercise us in a realistic fashion. We went through extensive machine gun gunnery training. We set very high goals for that. I've been doing machine gun crew qualification for about 25 years now, And in that time, I never saw a perfect 1,000-point score in the last 25 years. I'm sure there's been a few out there, but it's a pretty rare thing. Well, this brigade, we ended up getting five of those perfect scores. So I couldn't be more proud of the guys and gals with the machine gun scores. And then probably the other big event was convoy training. You know, one of our primary missions is going to be running convoys in and out of Iraq, which is a difficult task, you know, hundreds of miles, and people out there that, you know, want to bring harm to you, and the temperatures and the maintenance to keep those vehicles running. And so we hit the convoys hard. Our soldiers were able to run multiple convoy iterations all around Fort McCoy on some rough roads, I guess, you know, roads that would mimic what we're going to see in all kinds of weather conditions. So it was good training.
We're speaking with Colonel Eric Kerska, commander of Minnesota's 1st Brigade, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Colonel, you're coming down to the end of the training, and I think I asked you this before, but must be a heck of a logistics exercise to pick up 2,400 soldiers and equipment and food and water and so forth and take them halfway around the world and be ready to go. You must have spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah, I've got a great staff. I've got some great logisticians and great transportation planners, and so far it's been seamless. I mean, the filling of containers, we had to fill hundreds of containers to put on a ship, all the pallets that have to be loaded and all the packing lists and keep accountability of all the equipment. And it's very complicated, but between my staff and the Fort McCoy installation staff, it's gone perfectly.
And Colonel, just to clarify for our listeners, we talked last time about the fact that you've taken some advanced trips. So you've been to the installation you're going to, and you're actually going to lay in on top of another unit that's leaving. So you know pretty much what to expect when you get there, don't you?
I do. I do. We're going to be replacing the 197th Fires Brigades out of New England, a great unit. I stay in close contact with their commander, so he keeps me up to date. It's always changing, Tom. So what I saw in March, you know, there's been some changes since then, some dramatic changes. But overall, we've got a good understanding of what the mission is, and you know, we modified the training as we went along with the changes to meet them, and I feel very confident that we're going to do just fine.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. I hope you can stay with us. We'll continue our conversation with Colonel Eric Kerska in just a few minutes. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking with Colonel Eric Kerska, commander of Minnesota's 1st Brigade, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. Colonel, you've had a busy month, but I understand last Sunday they had kind of a fun event over at Fort McCoy.
Well, we had a great event. Serving our troops came down and served all the soldiers and a good share of the family members a great steak. You know, nothing against Army Chow, but you can't beat a good steak. And it was nice. It was a very hot day, but the weather cooperated other than the heat. We're not too far away over here in Wisconsin, but yet, you know, many of the families couldn't attend just because of distances. When you get to northern Minnesota or western Minnesota, it gets to be a little bit long. So it was a good event. Had some live bands, and you know, the outpouring of support from all the hundreds of volunteers that serving our troops brought along, it just made the soldiers feel special that day. It was a nice event.
Colonel, following that event, did the soldiers, are the soldiers getting a short break to go see their families before you deploy?
Yes, every soldier in the brigade that's currently mobilized here at McCoy gets an opportunity to get a four-day pass, you know, which gives them an opportunity to spend time with family or whatever they choose to do within a 250-mile radius. So, in fact, right now that pass period began yesterday, and over the next 5 to 6 days, every soldier will be leaving here and going home if they wish. Or some, in some cases, the family members are coming down this way, and they, you know, it seems like a lot of them are going to the Wisconsin Dells, you know, for a few days. So it's a nice opportunity to see, you know, take a break, see family members before we head on over.
Colonel, we've talked about this before, too, but it's my understanding that all of your soldiers and their families have gone through some pre-deployment training so that the families know all of the resources that will be available to them if they need help while their loved one is deployed.
Yeah, that's true, Tom. We had extensive family prep academy, as we call them, this last spring and winter. It was, we encouraged all family members to attend. We had I would say the majority of family members did attend. The Minnesota Guard has gone to great lengths to try to improve the support back home. We know the positive impact it has on the mission when the soldier doesn't have to worry about what's going on at home. We always worry, of course, but it's when there's a problem that's difficult for us to resolve from that far away. So it's good to know that there's a support system back there that'll take care of most of our needs. So that's very comforting and really increases our readiness.
It was great to these days have the family readiness groups and the family assistance centers and the Yellow Ribbon programs and all of the various civilian and military organizations there to help the family when that troop is gone, isn't it?
Absolutely. Forever we've had, family support groups go back, as long as there's been a militia, I guess. But now that Minnesota's worked so hard to integrate that into citizens committees and beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs, now it's basically a statewide resource where the family support groups can reach much further for support. And we've got the state's religious organizations are now heavily involved, and they're providing volunteer help. So it's a great deal.
Sir, it sounds like you've just about got everything in order, and your training has gone fantastic. What's next for your Red Bulls when you get into Kuwait?
Well, we've actually started to fly over already. Our advance party is on its way. We've got about 100 soldiers over there right now that are starting the bookkeeping processes. Got to transfer a lot of property over to us and a lot of inventories to do. And so we'll get on the ground and we'll spend, about 3 weeks. Once you hit the ground, you spend about 3 weeks working with your counterpart, the person that you're going to replace. So you sit side by side with that person for 3 weeks and learn everything they know about the job. And then sometime in, mid to late August, then it'll be ours. It'll be our responsibility, and the guys we're replacing, they'll head home after their tour. So that's kind of what lies ahead of us over the next month, is just learning the job.
Colonel, it sounds like you've got a great group of soldiers, and the training has gone well. You've done everything possible to get ready. You must be proud of those troops.
I'm very proud. It's a great brigade. Minnesota can be very proud of the people that they've sent in support of our nation. I feel really good and really positive about what we're going to be able to accomplish.
Colonel, safe travels, and thanks for taking some time away from your family to join us today.
You're welcome, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. That was Colonel Eric Kurska, the commander of the 1st Brigade, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let's take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. Bill writes, I am an employer in Brainerd looking to hire 2 veterans. I've always appreciated the work ethic and skill set of military personnel and want to have that be part of my company. Joining us to help answer is Sergeant Patrick Locke from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Sergeant Locke, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Tom. This is a great question right here. And usually when we field questions in this regard, we refer employers to 3 different great portals that they can look to fill their employment needs. Unfortunately, right now, with the state shutdown, there really is only one go-to website, and that website is the Employer Partnership of the Armed Forces. It's a very well-put-together website where employers can post their jobs and also view resumes that service members and their families upload onto the website, so they can kind of find a good fit that way.
And to find that website, I'll bet you go to my favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
You know it, Tom. Right on our homepage, you want to click on the employment tab, and it'll bring you right there to our whole list of employment websites.
And any other preferred job search sites?
Once the state gets back on its feet, we're going to be looking forward to seeing a couple other sites open up, one of them being MinnesotaWorks.net, and the other one, the Department of Employment and Economic Development's Positively Minnesota page. Employers can do a lot of the same things they can do on the Armed Forces website. So another great resource for employers and veteran job seekers as well.
Any other recommendations for our letter writer?
You know, Bill writes from Brainerd, and we have one of our 12 family assistance centers up in Brainerd. And if Bill was to reach out to that family assistance center, the coordinator there is going to have a pretty good pulse of the veterans in that area and maybe try to find a good fit that way as well.
And where is that, in Brainerd or at Camp Ripley?
There is Family Assistance Center in Brainerd, yes.
Okay, so and the easiest way to find that, just...
Once again, Tom, we're going to refer people to beyondtheyellowribbon.org. You can, on the homepage there, there's going to be Join a Yellow Ribbon Network button, and you will be able to find local Yellow Ribbon networks.
All right, so for that and everything else we want, beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
You got it, Tom.
Sergeant Locke, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, retired Major General Rick Erlinson, Colonel Eric Kurska from the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, Commissioner Larry Shelado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and, of course, the Adjutant General, the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about camping and fishing at a little-known haven for Minnesota veterans and their families, and a team of quiet professionals protecting Minnesotans from weapons of mass destruction. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.